it's Michelle Fisher, and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. You know, April was Autism Awareness Month, and we all know April has come and gone. But autism awareness will never be done. And today, we are profiling a resource and training center that understands that very fact. Hands in Autism is an interdisciplinary training and resource center that provides training and technical support to school staff, medical and service providers, primary caregivers, and individuals on the autism spectrum. So you want to know more, right? Well, to give us more information on Hands in Autism, I have Assistant Director Tiffany Neal with me here in the studio. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
I am fantastic.
It is great to have you here. The training center is called Hands in Autism.
Yes.
So what should that paint in a parent's mind?
So I think that Hands in Autism a lot of times is confused in terms of what the name is or what HAND stands for. I think we fielded that question. I think that's usually one of the first questions every time we go to a training. So HANDS is actually an acronym. So it's Helping Answer Needs by Developing Specialists in Autism. A big thing is that we work, our primary emphasis is on autism spectrum disorders, but a lot of the strategies that we work with and teach and train on is applicable to any individual that has a disability or a neurodevelopmental disorder. Mm-hmm. But really the picture that we hope people take away of or away with is the epitome of the acronym, sure, in that we are very hands-on. So not only are we going to suggest interventions and work with families and providers, but we'll go in and coach and support and help in a very hands-on manner to help show you how you put this strategy in place. Sure. So a lot of times we're going into situations where a lot of strategies have been tried, not only by parents, but also by educators, and they're at their wit's end sometimes, or they've tried a number of strategies and they're frustrated and need help. So we're able to look and be that objective view, but then tell them, in a hands-on manner so we can coach and model and just, again, very interactive in terms of helping them put that strategy in place.
Let's talk a little bit about the mission of Hands in Autism then.
So the mission of the Hands in Autism is very, very much what I just mentioned, in that we are really working to provide an integrated system for kids. So we want to make that seamless flow for kids where when we find something successful, whether it's an intervention or a strategy, and we put that in place within the school system or in the home setting, then we're also using those same systems across, or same strategies across systems. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at a specific strategy and we've assessed a child and decided that this intervention is working really well at home, then we're also going to work with our teachers and our medical professionals to make sure that we're using those same strategies across systems and really helping all of those different professionals collaborate and work together.
And it's such a, like you said, collaboration, working mm-hmm. together, because it is a puzzle. Have you seen changes as far as parents understanding that their kids need intervention maybe and treatment so that they can get the best outcome?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that has come with just the greater prevalence with ASDs or autism spectrum disorders. So the current prevalence or amount of individuals that are diagnosed with autism or autism spectrum disorder is about 1-2% of the population.
Oh, wow.
So 1 in 88, and the most recent figures are about 1 in 50 school-aged children that are diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder.
Okay.
So with that increase in diagnosis, a lot of parents have become more active consumers mm-hmm. of information. So one of our primary programs foundational programs that was developed by Hands in Autism was the Next Steps Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really meant to provide a bridge between when a family receives a diagnosis and they're dealing with the diagnosis, that there's too much information, to also be providing them with resources and additional information mm-hmm. when they're dealing with the diagnosis itself. So the Next Steps Workshop was something that Dr. Sweezy, our program director, developed. And that workshop is for parents that have just received a diagnosis from their medical professional or have received a special education eligibility of autism, where they can go to the workshop and we have a manual and we talk about information about ASD, resources and materials to help them, as well as organizations like the ARC that can help them work through the Medicaid waiver process and different supports that are available around the state. So we've seen, in terms of increased awareness and increased involvement of parents, mm-hmm. a lot more consumers attending our Next Steps workshop. So we've been partnering with school systems around the state, as well as our cadres to really host these workshops. And it's been really awesome to see not only the parents and more parents coming, as well as grandparents, but then we have educators and medical professionals coming because they want to be able to share the same information. Sure. So I think all of those steps have really led to more people seeking that information and wanting to support individuals with ASD or other disabilities.
Let's talk a little bit about your cadres then too, and how you train school professionals and doctors and the medical community. How do you, because that's a huge undertaking, but how do you do this?
So we have a number of programs that are run by our staff or are facilitated by our staff. So the local community cadres are groups that exist. Currently we have 6 around the state. So we have one in Fort Wayne, one in Lafayette, one in Indianapolis, Terre Haute, Bloomington,
everywhere, don't you?
And Evansville. We like to travel,
yes,
that's for sure.
Do.
Our cars have definitely seen the roads a lot these past few years. So the cadres began in 2010, and like I mentioned earlier, it's very much aligned with the mission and the vision of the Hands and Autism Center, where we're working to develop local capacity. So we have, at the same table, coming together for our meetings and events. We have medical professionals coming, so that might be therapists, physicians, social workers, counselors. We have post-secondary institutions represented, so we have people coming in to represent some of the transition services, as well as your traditional college and vocational school options. We also have our school personnel, so that may be your special ed director, your teacher, paraprofessional, your school staff, and then we have families and community organizations there. So it's really thinking about all of those different groups and bringing them together to not only network, but also inform each other of the resources that exist and the needs that they have within their community so that we can help develop materials and support what their needs and resources are.
When you talk about these trainings, are there people who come in with a set idea of how to train people with ASD, and then by the end of the training, they're like, oh, I never thought about that?
I think one of the, and we talked about the cadres and one of our big approaches with our trainings in general. So we've provided several, over 200 trainings in this past year. So looking at, you know, over 150 schools that we've gone into and done trainings, as well as community groups. But when we're doing trainings, we do very much interactivity. So not only are we doing small group discussions and activities, but we're doing hands-on activities. And so when you leave the training, you have materials to go implement some of the strategies. So I think a lot of people may attend trainings, look at materials, look at books, but what we add to the trainings is that we show videos and we talk about examples and we field questions that come up. But again, we do practice within the training. So a lot of times people are walking away thinking, oh, that's how you use a scheduler. Oh, that's what it's meant to use a work system. Or this is why, you know, structure is needed for our kids on the spectrum. So I think a lot of people do have some of those revelations coming out of the trainings and are very energized typically to either put those in place in their classroom or to go home and start putting those in place. So again, we are having trainings for parents or for school personnel or any audience that asks us to come in, really.
Let's talk about the focus of Hands and Autism. Do you go from baby to adult, or do you go from what happens there?
I would say that's another unique aspect of our center, is that we're not really focused on any specific age or any specific, you know, range of functioning, or, you know, we're not only focused on academics or behavioral programming. So our trainings and our materials are developed really from the first diagnosis and early identification. So one of our very popular resources and one of the first materials that was developed that Dr. Susie had developed was the Hands and Autism screening poster. So there's signs and symptoms recognized before age 2 and then after 2, and what that would look like. And it's in a very parent-friendly format, and you will find that in pediatric offices across the state. And that was one of the things the cadres did, was put those in emergency rooms and primary care practices and get that out there so that we can work on early identification. But then we also have a lot of materials definitely in the school age, so things on our website, like you mentioned. So we have kids' corner activities, academia activities to really hit on our young kids as well as our older kids. Functional academic programming. But then we have developed a lot more in terms of transition resources as well. And so we have worked on job kits and My First Job toolkit type of things to really help support not only that transition period when they're still within the schools, but when they're moving into employment settings. So that's a big emphasis for us as well.
Yeah, there's a handout on your website that talks about the do's of taking care of someone with autism, mm-hmm. on the autism spectrum. And one of the things I found was interesting was when they're in a stressful situation, what you implement is visual support.
So one of the core things when we're talking about different strategies is that we like to talk about the strengths of individuals with autism spectrum disorders or with autism. Because so often in the news, we don't see necessarily the most positive picture. So all of our strategies are focused on the strengths of individuals with ASD. So one of the strengths is actually visual processing, as well as things like learning routines and memory and things of that nature, areas of intense interest. So those are things that we like to highlight within the 10 to-dos. So the 10 do's handout that you provided, we find that visual structure is very important and very essential when we're working with individuals with ASD. So that may be something like a schedule to let them know predictability. A lot of times people associate schedules with a lack of flexibility or being adherent to a strict routine.
Yeah.
But really the implementation or the use of schedules helps kids become more independent because they know what's coming up next. So if you're in a stressful situation, I'm going to give you a visual that you may not like this right now. So first we're going to brush our teeth or something like that they do not like at all. Then you're going to get something more pleasurable, like you get access to a game or a book. So giving them that visual, because a lot of times when we're having a behavioral tantrum or a behavioral incident, we kind of shut off our ears and we're not listening because we're very frustrated and anxious and very overwhelmed. But that visual removes some of that auditory processing that's needed. And so the visual structure allows them to see, you know, what's coming up next. And when we're using those consistently, they know the predictability of that. And it really helps decrease the anxiety and increase their independence.
It's such a wonderful handout. Wonderful.
And I think the visual structure, sorry to jump
no,
in.
No, you're okay.
We try to really communicate the use of visuals with all of the providers that we work with. So we've worked with bus drivers and with security guards or first responders and how valuable visual supports can be in working with individuals with ASD. Because a lot of times when they're involved, it's in a high stress situation or a bus ride there's a lot of sensory input and they're not always successful. So we try to really train on the use of visual supports. And that's one of the biggest things that we try to emphasize.
And what is a misconception about what autism is? They say, oh, it's an emotional disorder. What is autism?
There's definitely a lot of misconceptions because even though ASD or autism is very prevalent, or there are a lot of individuals with autism, it is somewhat new to the game in terms of disabilities. So there is a lot of awareness that we still do around the state where people still are not understanding what autism is. But autism, a lot of research has shown that it is a neurodevelopmental disorder. So you hit on one of the big misconceptions. Early on, people thought it was an emotional disorder where kids didn't want to become attached and they were very emotionally withdrawn or socially withdrawn and removed. But research and working with individuals with autism will definitely show you something else, another side of them, where they can be very engaged and attached. But there is a lot of genetic origins and things in the environment that seem to be the causes of or the etiology of autism.
Let's talk about if you're a parent and your child is on the spectrum, how does Hands in Autism help?
So I think for parents, we offer a number of services. Obviously, HANDS developed as an outreach extension of the Autism Treatment Center, the Christian Sarkane Autism Treatment Center at Riley Hospital, and really because of that need, because a lot of times Dr. Sweezy and other providers were working with parents, and there was that gap where they were working with parents in a clinical setting, but then the kids were really going home, and they were going into the school settings, and they were going into community settings, and they didn't have the supports they needed. So really, HANDS developed as that outreach extension to kind of bridge those systems. So in terms of parents, we offer, like I mentioned earlier, the Next Steps workshops where we're walking through just information about autism spectrum disorders. And one of the big pieces that we talk with parents about is the grieving process. So Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and talking about how sometimes as a parent, you may be totally blindsided by a diagnosis and not really know how to react. And that's typical because you may have only had one kid and so you're dealing with the diagnosis. So then to think about resources is too much. So being patient and working through the process. Whereas other parents have known for a long time that something was was different, and they had sought out answers, and it was a long journey to get the diagnosis, so they were at a very different stage. They might be in a much more of an accepting stage or a bargaining stage, where they're trying to figure out exactly how do I navigate this. And so when we're working with families, a lot of times we try to frame it in that context, but then we also like to respect the fact that individual family members may approach the diagnosis differently. So as a mother, you may be at a very different stage than the father or a grandparent or an aunt or uncle. And so we really try to have those conversations. Other services that we provide to families are individual consultations. So a lot of times we get referrals from either providers in Riley Hospital or school systems or InSource or ARC representatives around the state. And they are working with families and need support and really communicating what their needs are or concerns are with the school systems or with their providers. And so they'll send us those emails, and then we'll follow up with the family and talk to them about what their rights are, what some next steps could be, and then we'll send additional resources their way. So that's another avenue. Again, the trainings that we offer around the state are open to, anytime we're partnering with a school or a community group, we open those to everyone around that area. So any surrounding areas may attend. So parents are more than welcome to come. We've also worked with parent support groups around the state. So I mean, we're a little bit of everywhere, but a number of resources, and parents are obviously the biggest advocate for their child. And so we really try to help schools bridge that homeschool barrier that sometimes exists. So we talk to the schools a lot about collaboration tips and really getting parents actively involved.
How do you talk to the medical community? I mean, because some parents may say, oh, my doctor was not, you know, my doctor came in and said, she has something, but I don't know, you know, or they want to protect the patient or something like that. How do you, how do you deal with the medical community that way?
So I think that's, it is unique because we are working across a number of systems and we try to be very proactive. So we provide medical trainings on very much the same concepts. And we still are doing some of the autism 101 type of trainings where we're trying to help inform them of characteristics. And especially with autism spectrum disorders, there is such diversity from individual to individual. So a lot of times people say, if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism, because they are so different.
Yeah.
And the presentation of autism is very different from individual to individual. So a lot of times for medical providers, we might be providing basic trainings on autism, or they might even be, we've had a number of practices that have been interested in us coming and helping them set up their setting so that there are visual supports in place and some of those systems in place so that they can really support the individuals when they're coming in, you know, to get lab work done or to come in for a routine visit. We have our medical toolkit for healthcare professionals, so we have a whole book that's prepared for medical professionals where it's preparing for a visit, during the visit, and then after the visit, what supports and questions you should be asking, not only of the family, but preparing for the child's visit. We also have some smaller resource toolkits that have the actual tools. So we have a number of resources for medical providers so that they can see these are things to take into consideration. Does the child have sensory issues? What are some reinforcers that we can have on hand? How can we lessen the burden or lessen the stress for the child when they're coming in for a really unpredictable routine, and help them see the structure that could really alleviate some of that stress that the child feels that then, you know, becomes the parent's stress as well, and it becomes more of a successful visit. In terms of other medical trainings, we have modules that are available. So we've partnered with a number of providers through Riley Hospital to create modules where they can get CME credits so that there's some motivation for them to complete them. And then another component is that we've started partnering with Developmental Pediatrics and the Department of Pediatrics, and the residents are actually coming out to the schools with us so that they don't get that training through their training. So they're coming and either sitting in our clinic sessions or schools that we're working with around the state. They come out to the schools with us and are able to see what an efficient, you know, what a structured classroom can look like, or what some of the strategies that they could be recommending or advocating for or using with their patients look like in real time. So they've really embraced that opportunity.
They have, really. They have. Another tool you talk about, which I thought was interesting too, I didn't print it off, but I remember seeing it on the website, was an information card, because we were talking about being in the community, and sometimes that's hard for them, but this information card really tells people that this person has a special need and we need to be cognizant of that. Talk about that.
So that's something, again, that's been around for a long time, but very popular. And that was really because as a parent or, again, a professional, when we're working with respite care providers, this is another resource that they find really valuable.
Yeah.
Or job coaches. So, again, thinking about the whole lifespan. But when you're out in the community and you have an individual with an autism spectrum disorder that's having behavior, so they're having a tantrum or they're engaging in repetitive behavior or some of the challenges that are associated with autism.
Sure.
And so you get a lot of looks, or people kind of that are, you know, whether they're assuming things or whatever, they're looking and they're of interest. And so it's a perfect opportunity to increase awareness within your community. So a lot of times just handing them the card is what we recommend. So usually, and again, that's part of our Next Steps workshop, and we have it available on the website. But we found that parents can provide that to their family members. So then if they're, you know, out at Applebee's and eating, then they can provide that card to the people that may be watching their child have a tantrum, because then the next time they see that happen, they may be a little bit more aware and sensitive to the situation.
What is the biggest misconception to you that about ASD and what people with ASD can actually do and want to do?
I think that, again, we've worked across the state and really we've started reaching outside of the state as well. But one of the big things is people's assumptions related to the capabilities of individuals with ASD. So a lot of times that diagnosis is associated with certain misconceptions, as you've read on the misconceptions page, whether that be looking at cognitive ability or potential or their ability to engage in social situations or to hold a job. And a lot of times there's somewhat of a predisposition to not look favorably or not provide opportunities given the inherent challenges with autism.
Mm-hmm.
And so really that's one of the biggest things that we work with schools and work with other providers to help them see what potential there is. If we capitalize on their strengths and their learning styles, we can really partner together to get that child or that individual into an employment setting or into a more productive member of society than if they're somewhat sheltered and not, and we don't embrace their multiple strengths.
Yes, that is true. Let's talk a little bit about then how parents can get in contact with Hands and Autism,
mm-hmm.
and start this process.
So obviously our website is accessible to anyone and it's continually updated. So there's a number of materials already on there and there's a number of materials. We're creating new materials every day basically because we're very consumer driven. So we like to get feedback. So when we're working with a school or a family and they need a product or they want to see an example, we make that and then we try to get it on our website. So again, it's an evolving website, but you can definitely go to our website again at www.handsandautism.org and you can access that very easily. And we have videos, e-learning, webcasts, materials you can download.
Mm-hmm.
You can also request materials. So if you're looking for visual supports or Next Steps manuals, you can request all of that from our website. You can also email us at the generic email. So it's hands@iupui.edu. And then once we receive that question, then one of our trainers gets in contact. So we have a really interdisciplinary team. And so Dr. Sweezy fields most of those emails and then puts a family or school in contact with the appropriate trainer. So we have a couple of special educators, myself and Dr. Sweezy, that do a lot of the responses. But we all are very accessible. So again, you can email or access us through our website.
Tiffany, thank you so much for coming in today and your work in behalf of people with autism, people with disabilities. I love Hands and Autism, that is for sure. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
And again, we will say this is a fantastic website. So for more information on Hands and Autism, go to their fantastic website. And yes, it is handsandautism.org. Thank you to Tiffany. And thank you as well, everybody, for listening today. Have a great day. Bye-bye.